And welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. And we have two very special guests. They're husbands and wives, but they're in two different locations today. And we're having a little bit of an issue trying to get them connected at the same time here. And, hey, we did it. So, hey, that's another thing we can offer. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for tuning in and being a part of this show. We try and bring the best guests that we can that have something that's for you. And today we're going to talk about a book, Decluttered Now. But before we even get into that, I want you to meet Lyndon and Cherry Garris. How are you doing, guys?
Fine. How are you?
Amen. We're doing great. We're excited to have you. First of all, just tell us about yourselves, and one can go first or the other one. You all decide on that. Well, Lyndon, we'll start with you.
Sounds good. Well, I am a manager of an international call center for a major banking firm and a certified Christian life coach, and love working with people and helping people learn new things.
Amen. Amen. How long have you been doing that?
For the better part of 10 years, and before that I was in the audio, video, and radio industry.
Oh, wow, so you got the radio voice. And how did you meet Cherry?
Well, you know, actually her sister worked for me in one of the call centers I put together, and I knew her for about 6 weeks, and she said, you know what, I think you need to meet my sister. And that's where it all began.
Hey, well, that works when someone finds someone for you. It cuts down the search. And now, Cherry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been an office manager for my cousin's floor covering store about 16 years and also a certified life coach as well, and looking to do something that is the passion of my heart, and that's where this book came about.
Amen. Now, y'all both been in the business world for quite some time, so y'all know about prioritizing and stuff. Did that help you put this book together?
Absolutely. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah, because go ahead, please.
I think that it strategically helped us put this book together because we had been in the work environment for so long. We really wanted to share our passion for people with people, and we really desire to see people's lives change. So providing 96 years of experience between us, just those life experiences to help people work through different situations and issues that come up, that combined with our desire to share that is what brought this book into fruition in the first place.
I love the title, Declutter Now. I mean, a lot of people may think this is one of those home makeover type books, but it's an internal home makeover, correct?
Absolutely.
Now, the people that have been getting the book, what kind of response have you gotten, Cherry?
Oh, the response has been humbling and overwhelming. We've had people write into us and tell us not only about their physical decluttering, you know, closets and garages and space, but also the relationships that they've been able to let go of that have been unhealthy, and the finances they've been able to declutter and the debt they've been able to get out of. It's really been pretty overwhelming.
Amen. Now, Lyndon, how important is freedom in your life? I mean, just to feel free of things. What kind of significance does that give an individual?
Well, I think the key to freedom is that you have more time and ability, and in our case, finances, to serve God, serve your family, be able to serve your community. A lot of times people are saying they're just too busy. How do you get it done? Well, when you experience freedom and you let go of all the things that are holding you back, it allows God to work in your life and open doors that you never thought possible.
Now, either one of you can answer this. Was it difficult to put a book together with your spouse?
How about I take that one? Actually, not as much as we anticipated. We each have our strengths, you know, and we kind of got in a groove and who took what, and it's the feedback has been really interesting because the people that read the book that know us say that throughout the book they can see bits and pieces of each of us woven throughout. So it was really a collaborative effort and not as hard as we anticipated at all. It went fairly seamlessly.
Now, how long did it take y'all to put the book together? But before you answer that, what gave you the idea, and then did y'all both feel it in your spirit to put this one together?
Absolutely. It was a situation where about 3 to 3.5 years of actually writing and piecing the book together, doing some focus groups and kind of bouncing ideas off of our church small groups as we actually compiled the information and built the book. As we came together, it was very easy to work together in that each of us had a desire to share different things. So that made the compilation of the book very easy. So it flowed very smoothly.
Amen. And when you're putting this book together, is there a part of it that led you more to write one part, Sherry, or something that you've written more, Lyndon, that you felt that you wanted to have a little bit more message on than the other?
I would say very clearly, for me, I had lived with a lot of fear. I was a single parent for a long time, and I had fear of not having enough to provide for my kids, not being able to replace. So I had a lot of fears that led to a lot of my clutter. And Lyndon, I'll let you expand on this, but I would say probably the section on men for Lyndon, right?
Absolutely. I've always had a real heart for men. Men suffer from a multitude of issues that the ladies tend not to be able to understand, but also men don't work through issues in the same way that ladies do. Mm. And I think that addressing the men directly in parts of the book really opens the door for them to find freedom in the way that they need it. So that was a key for me, is addressing the men and issues in their life.
Well, you touch on a topic that needs to be addressed as well, but I'm gonna let Sherry answer first. Now, how does a woman work through a problem?
Oh boy! Well, we have to get our emotions in check. I think we tend to be driven by emotion, and you know, another point to that is we suffer from tremendous guilt and obligation. Mm. I think more so than the men, and we have a really hard time saying no. And so when we're working through a problem, we have to remind ourselves it is not unchristian to say no. We can take a step back and we can put up some healthy boundaries and get the unnecessary and the harmful clutter out of the way so that we can, you know, get to A, from A to B in a straight line. And so I think for us, it's a step back, getting emotions out and feeling comfortable and being able to say no.
Amen. And Lyndon, how does a man work through it?
In my experience, most men shut down. They back away from issues. They back away from trying to resolve things. They're afraid to talk about things openly. We've got this mindset that we've got to be tough and we can do it on our own, when in fact, we need to let go of things and give it to God and allow Him to work in our heart so our behaviors begin to change.
Amen. Amen. Now, so that's awesome that you can put a book together that reaches both men and women. I mean, not many books can do that. So how has the response been out there? How long has the book been released?
The book's been out just over 6 weeks.
Okay, and what kind of response have you been getting back?
Sherry, you can speak to that.
Tremendous. Tremendous. And it's interesting because, you know, you expect your friends and your family to rally around. You know, they're your closest confidants.
True.
And so you kind of know that you can fall back on their support. And we have gotten that. But to have strangers, you know, people that you've never met before, people that through social media sites have found you and are listening to what you're saying, we've had people internationally that have found us on Facebook and said, you know, this is changing my life. This totally motivated me to put my, you know, best foot forward and finally take a step. So that has been incredibly inspiring.
Amen. Now, either one of you can answer this. Who needs this book?
Everyone. Everyone. I know Yeah, it's cliche to say there's something for everybody, and we've been kind of warned not to say that, but it's so hard to avoid it, because with 8 different areas in your life that we address, there truly is something that touches on something in everybody's life.
Amen. Give us just a little bit of example of what they're going to receive when they read this book, either one of you, really.
I think the key to it is that we start with your physical clutter, your space. We work through relationships. Chapter 2 is called Lovers, Lifesavers, Leeches and Losers, and Lost Causes. I think the relationship key is key for both men and women. Divorcing debt and marrying freedom is huge for helping people get their finances in place. And, you know, it's amazing that you can see both sides of the table as you get information from the ladies and from the men and how they work through each and every area of their life. I mean, but 8 strategic chapters, it's going to cover what you need to do and give you great tips of how to get from where you are to where you need to be.
Amen. Now, you've got a ministry called Action Plan Ministries. Lyndon, tell us about that.
Well, Action Plan Ministries is our ministry developed to help people get through different areas of their life, strategically coaching them through a process to get their life clutter-free. And then on top of that, we're also advanced marriage life coaches, and we really love to see life change happen in couples' lives as they come together and work through each area of their life together as a team. So we coach them through that process. And Action Plan Ministries is our facilitator to get us through the coaching process.
Amen. Now, how long has that been put together, Action Plan?
Actually, it was newly launched 3 months ago, and we are right on the edge of providing, you know, multiple services through the ministry. But we encourage everybody to join us for a 40-day video challenge on the site, which actually walks through the 8 chapters of the book in an 8-week study. It takes 2 to 3 minutes a day, and you can go through that 40-day challenge and become decluttered.
Amen. Well, give us that website, Lyndon.
It is www.actionplanministries.com.
And that's where they can take the challenge right there, correct?
Absolutely. They go to the free gifts section, and the 40-day challenge is laid out in an 8-week study group, and there's one study each day for 40 days.
Now, can they get your book there as well?
Absolutely, and the book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and you can get it in e-reader, Kindle, so you are ready to go.
Amen. Well, Sherry, give us some advice to women out there that are hearing us talk about it, and just give them some examples if you want, maybe some excerpts from the book, but just really of how they can declutter themselves, but also why it's so important.
Why is a great question. For women that are moms, that have kids, you know what, we want to give them the gift of a lifetime, give them the gift that keeps on giving. And if we can teach them to declutter from the get-go, you know, right out of the chute, throughout their life, they'll have so much more of what they want, more freedom, more joy, and they can start out that way and maintain that. Also for the moms out there, when you have kids, you know, when you're gone, who's going to be the recipient of all your clutter? Your children. And so for us, it's a matter of looking ahead and planning ahead and knowing what we do or don't want to leave our kids. And we want to live our lives as clutter-free as possible so we don't pass along that bondage and that garbage to our children for them to walk through. So I think as a mom on both levels, you know, both for your kids and then what you leave them, it's really important.
Amen. Now, Sherry, how long would it take for someone to declutter every aspect of their life?
Yep. You know, very, of course, individual journey. It depends on your personal challenges, and it depends on your motivation level. You know, we see some people that are toying with it, but they're just not quite ready to launch. And then we see people that are so motivated that they blow through a bunch of areas within just a short period of time. So I would say personal journey, but as Lyndon referenced, the 40-day challenge is a great jump start and launch for people. to at least touch into every area and see where they want to start and to get them going in the right direction.
Amen. Amen. Now, Sherry, I'm going to ask you one more question. When you are, before y'all met, y'all both went through divorces that ended up experiencing like extreme lows. Looking back, how has decluttering played a part in your life? Or how did clutter play a part in your life at that time?
Boy, at that time, I would say, I was riddled with guilt and obligation, and I had a hard time saying no, and so my focus and my priority was on everything else but my marriage at the time. And it almost provided, I guess the clutter provided like a barrier or a wall, and it kept me from dealing with the real issues. And so I did a lot of avoidance, I would say, and I was just cluttered with that. And if I had that out of my life and if I had time to focus on the real issues, I might have been able to make more of an impact.
Oh, amen. Amen. And Lyndon, what was the hardest part of your own life to declutter?
I think for me it was personal relationships, long-term friends that had been around for 20, 25 years that were really just negatively impacting me. They weren't positive influences in my life, but I felt the obligation to keep them around because they were, quote, lifelong friends. So I think that was the hardest piece, was letting go of those people in my life that were draining me.
Mm, amen. Now, a lot of people don't associate decluttering and a relationship with God, but tell us about that.
I think that it is absolutely essential to free ourselves up physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, so that God can actually work in our hearts and minds. He can actually change us from the inside out. And then the physical decluttering, as our heart changes, that's easy. We get rid of the addictions. We get rid of the stuff we don't need. We aren't trying to keep up the Joneses. You know, Proverbs tells us that a heart at peace gives life to the body. And I think that's key here. This is about living a life full of joy. And in this day and age, that's tough to do.
Amen. Now, what does debt and clutter, how are they connected? Either one can answer that.
I can take that. It's, you know, when we clutter, we collect things and we hang on to things that we, you know, don't want, that are unhealthy, that are unnecessary. And so if you think about it, debt can certainly fit into those categories. You know, it can hold you back from experiencing things that God has in store for you. You know, excessive spending, wasteful choices, they lead not only to financial clutter and debt, but also while you're doing all that spending, you're accumulating more physical clutter that you don't want or need in the first place. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Amen. Amen. So what would your advice give to those that may have debt and want to declutter? How would they do that?
Well, we walk through, in our chapter on decluttering your debt, we walk through basics. We walk through being able to take a snapshot of where you are and see, you know, are you running in the red, or if you're in the black, how much in the black are you? Putting together a simple strategic budget, following it, getting disciplined. If you've got some tough choices to make, you'll have to cross that bridge. But we kind of just take a real proactive, intentional approach and guide people through through the steps in getting rid of what they have and then maintaining that, staying that way. And then we also do some fun stuff with money saving tips. You know, we talk about coupons and you know, how to have fun on family nights and have activities that don't have to cost you an arm and a leg. There's ways to really enjoy your time with your family that don't have to set you back.
Amen. I looked at one of the book, part page in the book and on the finances, and I like stretch the stretchable, and that's really good. And then real men coupon and real women coupon, and that gave me a chuckle, but it's true. Well, either one of you want to share on that?
Well, I'll tell you what, we teach you how to have so much more with so much less, and it really can be true in your life.
Amen. Amen. Now, is there a personal message in this book that you want people to get? And Lyndon, will go with you first.
I think the key personal message for myself in this book is that freedom is available. God will do a work in our lives if we just make simple, small step changes to allow him to do that work in and through us. and we'll experience freedom like we've never experienced before.
Amen. Sherry?
I would say for me, our resources are not limitless. You know, you look at our natural resources, they're not limitless, and neither are our emotional resources and our time and our energy. And I think we need to just remind ourselves to be very intentional and not waste what we have, but be good stewards with what God has blessed us with.
Amen. Now, is there some easy steps that you can share, Sherry, with anyone out there on how to start getting decluttered?
You know, I think you need to find the area that speaks to your heart most. I mean, people can pick up our book, and there's 8 chapters, and while there is some overlap, people could see an area that just really speaks to them and just dive right in there. I think motivation is key. You have to find your heart motive. You know, and for us, you know, it's our relationship with God. He calls us to do certain things. One of my favorite chapters in the book has to do with temple care and maintenance, taking care of your body. And sometimes it's really hard for us to get motivated to do this, but if we think about what God commands us to do and what he asks of us and the price that he paid for us to have what we've got, it's encouraging and inspiring on its own. So I would say to lean on that as the motivation to get started.
Amen. And Lyndon?
I think that finding that piece that is most overwhelming to you and breaking it down into small, simple steps and starting on the decluttering journey will give you the motivation you never knew you had. And it is about just putting that first step forward and taking one area of your life and making change.
Amen. For those just joining us, we're talking to authors of Decluttered Now, Uncovering the Hidden Joy and Freedom of for Your Life, Lyndon and Sherry Garris. And please give everybody your website again and tell us of any upcoming events and some future things.
It is www.actionplanministries.com. And we are working through some book signings in the state of Arizona after the holidays. And you can check our events calendar, which will give you times, dates, and places. And we'd love to meet you and see you and sign a book for you.
Amen. Amen. Any last few words here for the listeners and stuff that you might want to impart on them before y'all go?
I would encourage them also to check out not only our website, but also our Facebook page, which is it's been kind of fascinating for us. If you search Declutter Now in Facebook, we have a real interactive readership. We call them our rule breakers because, you know, we're told that if you get a one-word answer, you're lucky and participation is slim. But if readers are interested, listeners go to the Facebook page, they will be so surprised the interactions that are happening. People are posting pictures of the things they've done. They're inspiring one another. So that's just a great place to maybe meet some new friends that are along the same journey.
Amen. Amen. Well, it was great having both of y'all on the show with us, and thanks for working with us to get the phone systems together there. And we appreciate you. Give us, Lyndon, give us the website one more time.
That website is www.actionplanministries.com. And David, we want to thank you for your time today. We appreciate you.
Amen. And anytime you want to come on the air and talk about anything, just give us a holler. If you need to help putting something together on air, just for counseling or whatever, you know, I'm here to help. Okay. So
yeah.
Okay. God bless.
Thanks so much.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you too.
Amen. Amen. That was the great writers here of Declutter Now, and they're really just down-to-earth people and just found some things that work for them and able to share it with you. Isn't it a blessing when you can put something that's been a blessing to your life and you've learned some principles and some steps and you're able to do that same thing for someone else? Well, that's what they did, and it's an amazing thing, and we're excited about that. And we're going to have another guest coming up soon, Mr. Dr. Larry Moyer, in just a few minutes. We'll be right back after these messages of our broadcasting partners with us. God bless you.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked American League umpire Ted Barrett what went through his mind after he worked his first World Series game.
As a young man, you know, I used to dream about playing in a World Series, but you know, to be out there umpiring in it. Ever since I started out at umpire school, it was my dream to one day work a World Series, and it came true. And it was exciting, it was fun, but I tell you, it is nothing compared to the love of Jesus Christ. And that is first and foremost in my life. And I just encourage anybody that's listening that maybe doesn't have a relationship with Christ to find out what it's all about and to just get with somebody that you know knows the Bible and ask questions and decide for yourself.
For more sports, go to asecondlookatsports.org.
There are two obstacles that keep pastors from taking responsibility on moral issues in politics. One is fear, and the other is the dualistic Gnostic notion of separation of the sacred from the secular. The secular progressives and the devil love it when preachers aim for heaven only and forget God's command to take dominion over the earth. If all we do is get people to go to heaven, we have become irrelevant in the earth and have given credence to Marx's claim that religion is the opiate of the people. That is a truncated gospel. If our Reformed fathers had believed that way, we never would have had America. Half the Bible believers in America voted for abortion in the last election. Was it for pulpit fear or for Gnostic notions? Jesus said, "Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, and we pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402.
I hear a lot of well-established Christian youth professionals say that clothing and hairstyles aren't battles that parents need to be fighting. I have to respectfully take issue with that. Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a thought from Shepherd's Hill Farm. If you allow your teenage son or daughter to dress in a manner associated with occult practices, gang activity, sexual perversions, and any other activity that may be contrary to a biblical worldview, who do you think your child is going to attract as friends? If your teen's desire is to dress in a fashion that identifies himself with a group that is contrary to anything Christ-like, your problem may be deeper than clothing. Unless he has a genuine missionary motive, how a person adorns himself is an outward indicator of how that person perceives himself. Teens often deny that dress is significant. That's when they need to be asked why they spend so much time, energy, and money to look the way they do.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically-based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. A fresh fall of snow brings a surreal beauty that temporarily makes the world look like a better place. However, all is not what it seems. It is not as clean and pure as it looks. Each snowflake forms itself around a tiny molecule of carbon. It has a nucleus of dirt, a dark blemish or stain. David, the psalmist, says that when the Lord cleanses us, we will be whiter than snow. When the blood of Jesus washes us clean, all our sin is removed. Jesus took all our sin upon himself on the cross at Calvary. He did not leave any behind. In Christ, there is no darkness of sin around which our new lives are formed. The slate has been wiped clean. He has made us whiter than snow. Thank you, Jesus. You have cleansed us of all unrighteousness. Amen.
Hi, this is David Yanis, host of Midwatch with the Rev and General Station Manager for RevMediaNetwork.com. Just wanted to remind you to visit our main website, which is RevMinistries.com. I am the director of RevMinistries.com. We're doing several evangelistic things out there. One of them is reaching through media all the ways we can. We have books, CDs. We have an online station here. You're listening to it here on Rev Media Network. We're going to be broadcasting on television soon as well. We're making movies. We're doing everything we can to take the gospel out to the world. We also preach. We do seminars. We do healing conferences. We do relationship series, relationship. God bless you. Please visit us at RevMinistries.com.
There are two obstacles that keep pastors from taking responsibility on moral issues in politics. One is fear, and the other is the dualistic Gnostic notion of separation of the sacred from the secular. The secular progressives and the devil love it when preachers aim for heaven only and forget God's command to take dominion over the earth. If all we do is get people to go to
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection. And welcome back to the show. We have our next guest with us, Dr. Larry Moyer. How are you doing, Dr. Larry?
Fine, thank you.
Amen. Dr. Larry, before we jump into your book, and it's a great one, I mean, we're going to have a great interview, share Christ in the workplace. How many of us can't do that?
Yes, it's a great opportunity.
Amen. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you know the Lord as well, but then also just share with us what motivated you to write the book.
Well, I born and raised on a dairy farm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and came to Christ through the sport of hunting. God literally took me from the creator of the Christ, and I came to Christ on the dairy farm as a teenager in Pennsylvania. And then I went to Philadelphia College of Bible, where I got my master's degree, on the Dallas Seminary, where I got my bachelor's degree, went to Dallas Seminary, where I got my master's degree, and then started Vantel in 1973, so next year will be our 40th year, and everything we do is evangelizing and training others to evangelize. And Billy Graham has called the workplace the next movement of God in America, and there's so many opportunities to come up down the workplace because that's where people are finding their best relationships. And so I felt burdened of the Lord to write a book that would tell employers and employees how to share Christ in the workplace.
Now, were you sharing Christ in the workplace at that time, or were you evangelizing and preaching?
I was in full-time evangelism, but I was in the workplace before going into ministry, and most of all my work is with business people and people in the workplace. I got my doctor of ministry degree from Gordon Conwell on Christianity in the workplace, and I really was impressed to write a how-to book that really explained how you go about evangelizing the workplace. Different people know they've got to be honest, they've got to have integrity and all that. But then with that, how do you actually go out and talk to people about Christ?
Oh, you know, that's a good point, because a lot of people think that the pulpit's the only place where Christ is going to be shared. And, at church on Sundays and Wednesdays or whenever the service is taken in. But that's not true. The greatest evangelists are the ones that are living it in front of everybody each day.
Yes, and I think if you're serving the Lord where you are in full-time ministry. I tell people, two kinds of people go to work on a Monday morning. One says, I'm an engineer who happens to be a Christian. The other says, I'm a believer called to serve God as an engineer. And I think the second one sees his job as his ministry.
Oh, amen, amen. I really believe that when people follow the Lord, you can't wake up with a bad day as far as going in, because you got to go. It's like, not that it sounds like that, but your work should have motivated you to be there. But your ministry at work should motivate you enough to get up, be on time, be a good steward of the time when you're at work. People are watching you. I've worked in the workplace forever, and even being in the military, and people would watch me because I professed I was a Christian. They knew there was things I didn't do. They knew that there was avenues I didn't walk down, and they wanted to see if I lived it every day. And do you share some of that, those kind of examples in your book as well?
Yes. The book centered around three things: pray as you should, live as you should, and speak as you should. And so, the three areas. Then at the end, there's a section on how to use your speaking opportunities in the workplace. Because often people in the workplace are called upon to give eulogies, share their testimony, give after-dinner addresses, and they have great opportunities there in the workplace.
Now, did you get your book into, like, business owners' hands as well?
Yes. Kringle Publishers has sent them to a number of business owners. And we're even having a thing at the Arboretum tonight in Dallas, in a very beautiful garden area. Well, giving free copies to people in the business place.
Amen. And when you've given them, what kind of response have you gotten back from some of these people that own a business?
Before I release any book, I always have five people read it.
Okay.
And the biggest comment I get was, first time I picked up a workplace book that actually told me how to evangelize. I pick up different ones that tell me the importance of character and all that, but I don't know how to turn conversation into spiritual things. And I'm getting a great response to it.
Amen. Well, share with us some examples from your book of how to evangelize.
Well, for example, we tell people you're paid to work, you're not paid to witness. And so there's an ethical issue enters in there. You gotta be faithful to the job you're called to do.
Amen.
But you have different times, employee or employee is going through hard times. have a chance to talk to them during break, after hours, before hours, prayer groups meet at work, all that kind of thing. And those are all good opportunities. Many times, workplace where you build a relationship to then be able to talk to people apart from the workplace.
Amen. Amen. Have people just been like surprised with some of the concepts you have in there?
Yes, they have. They've been very surprised because they give a lot of practical ideas. I mean, how to use something so simple as an anniversary card, a wedding anniversary card, a birthday card, that kind of thing, doors of opportunity. And I explain how doors of opportunity open and then what to do with them.
Amen. Now, you've been preaching for how long, my brother?
39 years.
And you've done so winning so long, correct?
Yes. And next year will be our 40th year.
Wow. Well, thank you, sir, for doing that, for sure. Thank you for just being faithful.
Oh, I love it. And everything we do is evangelizing and training others.
Amen. And so when you have looked at the workplace and you notice that the people in the events that you're holding, they're all going tomorrow to work. So the people that you're evangelizing in your events and stuff, and those people are all going to work tomorrow morning. So this is a great idea to create a book to get
yes.
them to be active in where they're at.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I just felt a little bit of the Lord to do it. And I just nasty piece of the response I've gotten from it. Again, the response has been, you've already told me how. That's what I need to know.
Amen. Amen. So there's more Christians out there than we know of or that we think of, correct?
Yes. Yeah, and like I said, you go to workplace with the idea, this is my ministry, this is not just my job. You have some fantastic opportunities.
You know, that's one thing, just changing our attitude of why we're there. That's gonna create productivity in the workplace. So
yes.
They're going to automatically have favor with the boss once they start changing the atmosphere. You know, I used to work at a job in retail, and everybody came in, and when they came in, they didn't want to be there. Everybody was angry at the business. And you know what? I just kept loving God and just working and working. And you know who got promoted? The person that was working, who was just loving God. And I kept witnessing to them, but you know, just loving them on break. And they knew if they had a problem, they can come to me. So it's important. It's important that we take a hold of this type of teaching and this type of material and share it with others. And what are some other good examples from your book?
Yeah, I really want it to be an equipping tool. And that's what actually is. It's designed to equip you how to evangelize in the workplace. And I mean, even something so simple as the learning of a book can open up conversations and spiritual things. There are some of the simplest things people will look. And in the book, I address different doors of opportunity that come up. A person may come to work one morning, he's distraught because a friend of his has been diagnosed with cancer. And a simple comment like, I'll pray for you, has sometimes been all it takes to open up conversation about spiritual things.
Mm. Amen. Now, did you use any personal stories or testimonies that you went over the 39 years of preaching in this book?
Oh, we have different, yes, we do. We have different times we've put people to work in the workplace, to witness in the workplace. And then they've written back to us about people they've led to Christ. And I share some of those stories.
Amen. And, you know, I think that it's important that people realize that, you know, you and me, preachers that go out there and preach, you know, beside the radio show, I'm out preaching all the time. And that's not the only way. You know, that we're supposed to be, as evangelists, we're supposed to be it's exciters and getting people to move on the gospel's word. And
and the people in the workplace are around the lost people all the time. They
absolutely.
Know them the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what would your advice be to someone that may be a little shy? You know, that they may not be that person that goes and starts the conversation. You run into a lot of those people at work that they're the shy ones. How could someone like that reach out to help someone?
The two biggest reasons people don't evangelize are they are afraid and they don't know how. Those are the two biggest reasons. So I tell everybody what you need to do is you need to learn how to overcome fear and not knowing how, and you will soon be witnessing to everybody you can. One thing we teach them is the need to have a basic method you use to share Christ. A method does not make you canned. A method makes you warm and personal because you now know how you're going to win the conversation, come out of it, etc. And so we really stress teaching people how to, because we find that's what really gives them the freedom and the desire to go out there and do it.
Amen. Now, when they do evangelize at work, are there some don'ts you tell them?
Well, mostly things like, remember, your job is to bring Christ to them, only God can bring them to Christ. So one thing you don't do is pull high pressure upon a person. Your job is to bring Christ to them, only God can bring them to Christ. And there's a point to which you have to leave the results in God's hands. You can invite them to trust Christ, but whether or not they do is God's responsibility.
Mm. Hey, I know back in the 60s and 70s, they used to, in the military, they used to call them Holy Joes that would share the gospel when they were out there in the military all the time. And when I was in the Navy, they used to call me Padre and Rev. They kind of like singled me out. Now, is there a chance that a person may be singled out when they share the gospel at work?
You mean the Christian?
Yeah, the Christian himself.
Yeah, there's always a possibility about that. But I find, too, though, the more they go at it with tact, the more that makes a difference.
That's true.
You know, some people don't know what tact means, T-A-C-T. They never practice it, they can't pronounce it, etc. And there are some people, as they are so tactful, they never approach people. And there's a real balance I call grace and truth.
Amen. Amen. Now, does any of your siblings or family members, have they practiced this book at work?
Well, my own mother and dad came to the point of assuring me of their trust in Christ after 27 years of praying, and they're both now with the Lord. So I came from a family that was not necessarily a Christian family.
Mm. And your father?
But now I have nieces and that kind of thing that are very concerned about living for the Lord and sharing him at work and all that. So, yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, where can your book be purchased at?
They can go online, evantel.org, E-V-A-N-T-L-L, E-V-A-N-T-E-L-L, or they can call 800 number, 1-800-947-7359, 1-800-947-7359, or they can go to see Christian Book Distributors. They carry our material, and they can go there.
Amen. Now, is Evantel, is that your website?
Yes, evantel.org.
Now, what kind of events do you have? What kind of ministry are you out there?
Oh, we have everything. Our main thing we do is training. We train in four areas: the workplace, the church, the academic, and then we train community organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Center, Disaster Relief Agencies. The main thing we do is training. We have two outreach events, one called Operation Friendship. It's like a restaurant, where I give an after-dinner address. The other is Wild Game Feast, where outdoors people bring all their game, meat, and everything. I show over 100 hunting pictures because I'm an avid hunter and give my testimony hunting wildlife and finding God. And those things are going crazy on us. Just fantastic.
Really? Hey, man, I love to have people on the show that are just actively doing God's work. I mean, it's one thing to write a book, but, man, that the book is just a byproduct of what you're doing, you know, that it's just God moving in you, and you had to put it in a book so you can keep it moving. When you're asleep, your book's still working for you.
Yeah, I tell people there are two kinds of Christians, those who talk about the lost and those who talk to the lost.
Amen.
And the fact that God doesn't want us to talk about the Lord, he wants us to talk to them.
Amen. Now, as an evangelist today, and you've been doing this for quite some time, what kind of advice can you give evangelists as myself and other men coming out just preaching and those that are even in the workplace, what kind of advice you can give us?
Well, first of all, always remember, greatest need is obedience. Just do it. Just give obedience, because the more you obey, the more you learn how to do it. Ask God for open doors, you do, because you can open the door. You can only walk through the door he's opened. So ask God for open doors. And then learn a method to share Christ, because, again, those are consistent of a basic method they use. So have a method to share Christ. And then just let the Lord use you. Day by day, he'll open doors. He'll give you boldness to speak. If you know how, you'll take advantage of those opportunities. So three things I would say is obey, ask God for open doors, and learn how to do it.
Amen, amen. And you mentioned earlier four areas you train in. You train in the workplace, the academic, the community. I missed one. What was the other one?
The workplace, the academic, the church.
Okay, the church.
The church, and then community groups.
Now, do you find in today's churches, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know what denomination you are, if you are any, but do you find that there's not enough training on evangelism?
Yes, it's interesting that the amount of people who want training and the church that are providing it is, there's a wide discrepancy.
Really?
There's a lot more Christians want training than our church providing it.
Wow. So, you know, you have a a gift and a talent that people can see on training, and I can see why they bring you in. There's a lot of ministers. You know, I have a real good friend. His name's Gerald Davis. I refer to him a lot on the show. And he bought this Soul Winning course years ago, back in the early 70s, and how to train people. And it was a good course of training. He taught that course. His church wasn't receptive to it, but there was one person that was, and that was his son. Years later, his son's out there evangelizing, winning souls on the beaches of Corpus Christi and all the way up to Houston, just winning souls in parks and stuff because he received training. He was the only one that was receptive of it, and he received the training. So training is very important.
If you want people to go out and evangelize, you've got to train them.
Can you give us a little bit of an idea how you train? The church,
well, first of all, we teach them a very simple bad news, good news approach. You can use it with anybody, anywhere. It's called the biggest gift we've made to Christianity. It's simply a bad news, good news approach. Bad news is we're all sinners, the penalty is death. The good news is Christ died for us, you can be saved through faith. Each of those points has a verse and illustration for each. And people are in the bad news, good news grout and need their first person of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That's why I would really encourage anyone to go to our website and really explore around, see all that we have available to help in evangelism, or call 800 number again, 1-800-947-7359. And just, we have a vast array of stuff, children's, youth, adults, DVDs, workbooks, books, 2-hour, 4-hour, 1-hour, whatever they might want.
Amen, amen. So there's different levels for different people, like what different budgets.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And I'm sure it's all affordable where people can get it and get the books that they need.
I know that. I can definitely say our materials are affordable.
Amen. And so do you have the material that a church can just get that they want to train their youth or train their staff there how to evangelize?
Yeah, we have a 3-month training program called SEEDS, S-E-E-D-S, that built in accountability and all that. I'm really a firm believer you witness out of grace, not guilt.
Amen.
I think it's a privilege, not a pain. And it's so we don't come down on top of people, we come up underneath them and train them.
Amen. Now the and like anything, the more you do something, the better you get at it. Is that the same thing with reaching people?
Everyone you share Christ with, you one person wiser how to do it.
Amen. That's an awesome way to put it. Now, when someone's finished your book and they put it on their coffee table or on their bed and they're done, what would you want? What's the message you want them to get out of the book?
That God wants you to use, God uses people to reach people. And if you simply be obedient, and we stress the important thing is as you obey, make the gospel clear that it's a free gift. You come to God as a sinner, recognize Christ, die for your oaths, and put your trust in Christ alone as you're on your way to heaven. Not Christ plus something, but Christ alone. And so we really stress, make the gospel clear.
Amen. Now, before you go, I want to ask you a couple more questions. And does Soul Winners, you know, do we sometimes, people that want to go share the gospel, do we make it more difficult than it really is?
Yes. Yes, it's not always easy, but it's not nearly as difficult as we make it.
I mean, because I know when I've talked to people that we should go out there and talk to people about the Lord, a lot of them, first of all, they feel like they're going to get embarrassed or something. And the other thing is they feel like they're not going to reach them. People aren't going to listen to them. What would you say on those two things?
Well, in our day, I've been in for 39 years. I've never seen a day people are more approachable.
Really?
Because of cancer, AIDS, freak bombings and shootings, the breakup of the home, the economy, I mean, terrorism, they are so open and approachable. Cancer is huge. They're scared of getting cancer. And people are so approachable today.
That's amazing that you say that, because I remember a good friend of mine that said that America is not going to be reached until there was another large disaster of a large scale affecting all of America. But I think what you shared is affecting all of America, in fact, affecting the world. And that is a scare to people. You know, when people get scared, they do open up to the gospel. There's no doubt about it.
Well, most people come to Christ in the midst of insecurity.
Amen.
And so the breakup of home, marriage, financial loss, health problems. And so in a day of insecurity, people are very approachable.
Amen. I'm glad you say that. I'm writing a lot of notes because I'm just loving what you're saying. But it is. And God is there for that. You know, God is there for that. There's no shame in that, that God is there when they're at their lowest. That's when you want God to come in and fix the things and give you some answers. And they are approachable. Do you have some stories that you can share about witnessing?
When you're upside down looking up, that's when you tend to see your need for Christ.
Amen.
And like we have had people in our outreach to come to Christ just from a divorce, just were diagnosed with cancer, and because of that, they were absolutely so approachable. Some, I mean, I have stories of people that people pray for 18 years, 12 years, and all of a sudden they saw their need. Had a guy come up to me one time in outreach, and he said, I came to Christ 18 years ago when you spoke to me, and I've been waiting 18 years to tell you, because you never knew it. Right after you shared Christ with me and left my house, he said, I trusted Christ. I've been waiting 18 years to tell you.
Amen. Amen. You mentioned at the top of the show that we had that Billy Graham stated that the next great wave of evangelism is going to be inside the workplace. And do you think that you know, years ago, I remember Billy Graham's events, and thousands are coming to Christ. Are you more effective now one-on-one or just with the groups?
Yeah. Billy Graham has said if he were starting today, he'd have to do it differently. That most evangelism taking place today is one-to-one.
Wow.
Now, events are helpful. We have events, and they're very helpful, but most evangelism today is one-to-one.
Wow, the laborers are few. We need to get them out there working, and working where they're working at already. God's already, you know, that's what a lot of people don't understand. God's already strategically placed you in a place to be a blessing to someone. And you're there, and you're ready to be used by God, and you just need to get this book and pray and show God, show people how to come to God. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you have to know what the gospel is. The Bible is 66 books. But the gospel with 10 words, Christ died for sins and rose from the dead. And you simply have to have a method to share that. Then as you pray for opportunities, being clear what the gospel is, knowing how to present it, God's going to give you opportunities.
Amen. I mean, he will not leave you without something to say. He will give you something to say, and you just stay, like you say, just get the first one done, right, brother? Just do the first one, and then you're going to be more confident each time you go on and get another person saved and get to bring another person to the Lord. Well, my brother, share us your website one more time before we let you go.
Edantel, EDANTELL.org.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Larry, for being a part of the show. And for those that are just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Larry Moyer at Share Christ in the Workplace. It's a book that's going to teach you how to be an evangelist in the very place that you work, how to motivate you to start changing some people's lives in your job. Wouldn't it be great if your boss was saved? Praise God. It'll be a great thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on your program.
Well, thank you, sir. Anytime you want to talk about anything, even any of your events, you just give us a holler and we'll get you on the air, okay?
Okay.
God bless you. Talk to you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Amen. And again, another great interview. Of course, we had our first interview with Declutter Now with Lyndon and Sherry Garris, and that was a great interview as well. But then we have Mr. Larry Moyer, Dr. Larry Moyer, and his book, Share Christ in the Workplace. Now, how many of us know, those that listen to the show know that I push you to reach people in your workplace, push you to change people's lives, push you to motivate you, that even though you may not be out traveling and preaching, you are a preacher where you're at. And if that's what God has for you, and then that's what you're going to do eventually. But you got to start somewhere. I remember Tommy Barnett's church, he used to send people out, I believe he still does, that they would just go out and witness. If they didn't witness to, I think, 10 people, 20 people a day, and just a witness to tell them that God loves them if they want to receive the Lord, that he would question whether or not, you know, they were serious about saving souls, and whether or not that they feel the passion of saving souls. And I guarantee you, there's always going to be another 10 or another 20 people that haven't heard about the Lord or have need of the Lord, because I think everybody in the U.S. pretty much has heard about the Lord and know about what the Lord is all about. But that is what your job is. Your job, yes, is to be a worker there, but it is to share the gospel and let your light so shine, is what I'm hearing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, those are some good points. Dr. Larry was awesome. Lyndon and Sherry, they were awesome as well. And remember, visit Dr. Larry's site, evantel.org. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Tomorrow we have some great guests. We have Miss Rosemary Miller and Miss Melanie Dobson. So hey, we're doing some good things. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch, my friends. God bless. God bless you. Remember, write us, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.